We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wake Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Oh, a little Doobie Brothers, China Grove. That's an appropriate song for this guest. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news while working at home, tooling around the garage, homeschooling the kids. Just tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. Oh, China Grove. That's pretty good, Dave. China Grove. China Grove. Terry Branstad served as the governor of Iowa from 1983 to 1999, and then again from 2011 to 2017. He is the longest, or rather was the longest serving governor of any governor in the Union, having served a total of 22 years. He also served as United States Ambassador to China under the Donald Trump from 2017 to 2020. He also served as the president of Des Moines University and the chair of the National Governors Association. Ambassador, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, you're welcome. I'm delighted to join you this evening, and I'll be coming down to Wichita to speak to the Pachyderm Club, I think, on Friday.
Yes, that's right. And we're lucky to have you. I think it's a rare opportunity to have someone with your unique knowledge who knows so much about, Russia to an extent, but I think China is America's biggest threat, I think, to the world stage in particular, but to America as well. It's interesting. I was looking back at some of the things that you said while in office, while you were ambassador. One of the things that really stood out to me, when asked to describe Beijing's initial handling of the coronavirus last September, you told CNN, quote, "What could have been contained in Wuhan ended up becoming a worldwide pandemic." Do you feel that same way now? Do you think that China really could have, had they acted differently, had they treated it differently, do you think China could have prevented what we've seen now?
I do think it could have been prevented. The problem was, and this is a problem with the Chinese communist system, the people at the local level that were aware of it did everything they could to cover it up, and they made the doctors who were really identifying this new virus renege on what they had said. In fact, a number of them either died or disappeared, then they had a big celebration for the Chinese New Year in Wuhan with thousands of people, and then, of course, they went all over the world. That's what really spread the virus and made it a worldwide pandemic. And the Chinese still have not acknowledged the fact that the virus started in Wuhan, and that's pretty well common knowledge. In fact, I know Mike Pompeo and also Dr. Redfield both think that employees of that research facility probably were the ones that spread initially got the virus.
Yeah, I know that recently the World Health Organization came out with a quote-unquote study that indicated that it wasn't the, you know, that research facility, that it came from a food market or even some cockamamie story that it might have been monkeys or something like that. But all the other evidence does seem to indicate that it came from a, you know, the research facility there. You often defended the Trump administration's rather tough diplomatic stance with regards to China. In retrospect, do you think that that more aggressive posture benefited the United States more than, say, the way the Obama administration or even the Biden administration is approaching China?
Absolutely. What we got out of that was insisting on fairness and reciprocity, and Mike Pompeo deserves a lot of credit as Secretary of State for really focusing on that. And the president, of course, was able to get the Phase One trade agreement. And being from the agricultural states, we now are recognizing record corn and soybean and pork prices. And we're even selling beef and chicken in China now. And this has been a tremendous benefit to the agriculture Midwest. And I give a lot of credit also to Ambassador Lighthizer and Secretary Mnuchin, who were the chief negotiators on that. But it was a long and tough battle, and it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't gotten the Chinese attention by imposing tariffs on their products.
So do you think, I mean, I know they've only been in office a little over 100 days now. Do you think President Biden and their team, are they, I mean, how are they going to handle China? Do you think they're going to continue Trump's policies? Are they going to take a more a more Obama-style approach to it? Are they a little more hands-off?
Well, my concern is that people like John Kerry will trade away the tremendous progress we made on trade in return for a false promise from the Chinese with regard to climate change. And generally, in the past, the Chinese would promise reforms and opening up, and then they would put it off and fail to do it. And the Trump administration just said, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We want fairness and reciprocity, and we're going to put these tariffs in effect until, and the tariffs are still in effect. So then the question is, will Biden keep the tariffs? Will he keep the pressure on China or not? And based on his past record, I am concerned about it.
Well, you know, I recently saw something that, former Secretary Pompeo actually he tweeted out. He said, China has repeatedly broken promise after promise. We must distrust and verify. And I think that has to be the approach that you take with China, because their, you know, their record is what it is. And I tend to agree with you, especially with regards to John Kerry, that he's such a squishy fish. And I think that climate has become so important. I think they're putting that, Biden administration is putting climate above everything else. And I think if the Chinese promise to do something for climate, I think they're going to give them the farm in order to get a promise that ultimately they won't deliver. I know we're talking with former ambassador, United States ambassador to China, Terry Branstad. Terry, I know you have a very long and personal relationship with China's President Xi. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that? Share any personal insights or observations you have of President Xi?
Well, in 1983, my first year as governor, I signed a sister state agreement with Hebei province of China. Governor Zhang Xiguang from Hebei. He invited me to bring a delegation to China in 84. I did that. It was like going back in time. No tall buildings. Everybody's riding bicycles. And we went to Shijiazhuang. We were there for the 35th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic. We were treated very well. And then the next spring, a small delegation of five young men from our sister state, led by a young man named Xi Jinping, who was at that time only a county-level party secretary. And, of course, I have the governor, a level higher, and we treated him very well. And he went to visit farms and factories and went to birthday party, went to a barbecue, was on the president of the Iowa Corn Growers Farm when they were planting corn. And so he calls us old friends because he was treated so well. And when I came back as governor the second time in 2011, I got a chance not just to meet with the party secretary, the governor of Hebei, I got to meet with then Vice President Xi Jinping in the Great Hall of the People. And he spent 45 minutes telling me how much he loved Iowa and the people that he met in 1985. And consequently, I came up with the idea of it. And since he calls us old friends, I'm having an old friends reunion in Iowa. And so I sent him a thank you note and said, next time you come to America, I figured he's going to be the next leader of China, I'd like you to come to Iowa and we'll host an old friends reunion. We did in Muscatine, where he had stayed with the Dvorak family. And then we had a big state dinner in Des Moines. He visited a farm when he was there, the Kimberly farm. And that's the reason why I think President Trump chose me to be the ambassador to China. He knew that I had this long-term relationship, a personal relationship with the Chinese leader, Xi Jinping.
It's just fascinating. When I looked into your bio, you've got another interesting little tidbit in here. I know you were in Vietnam. But is it true that you were part of the unit that arrested Jane Fonda back in the day?
Actually, I was not in Vietnam, but I served in the Army Military Police during the Vietnam era. And I worked for the Provost Marshal, was the Fulbert Colonel, was the top military police officer at Fort Bragg, and I gave them 19 pages of documentation why they shouldn't let her on post, and she came on the post illegally, and we arrested her. Now, I wasn't one to put handcuffs on her, but I was there with the colonel to witness my buddies from the 503rd Military Police arrest her at Fort Bragg.
Oh, you got to love that. Crazy Jane Fonda. So, Ambassador, you're coming to Wichita this week. I know you'll be speaking at the Wichita Pachyderm Club on Friday, and then later Friday evening you're attending a meet-and-greet at the Castle Inn Riverside, courtesy of the Kansas Chamber of Commerce. I have posted information on the event on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. If folks want to come, if they want the Pachyderm Club, both those are open. If folks are interested and they want to come and hear you, you've got a lot of fascinating anecdotes. They can hear you and listen to you. And thanks, of course, to the folks at the Kansas Chamber. They do great work, fantastic efforts to keep, to represent Kansas businesses. And, of course, we love the Pachyderm Club. But you'll be here this Friday. I can't wait to hear you speak.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. My son, Eric, who was the director of Trump's two successful campaigns in Iowa, 2016 and 2020, will be coming with me, and he's helped organize it. So he and I will both be there, and we're looking forward to it. Kansas is another Midwestern state. When Bob Dole was the majority leader, I had a very close relationship with him as well. We used to call him Iowa's third senator because he was very helpful on issues like ethanol and renewable fuels and things like that. So I'm looking forward to being back in Kansas and coming to Wichita.
Well, and who knows? Maybe your former friend, your former Secretary of State, may be the next president. He won our recent straw poll at the state convention. So, Ambassador, thank you again for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Well, thank you. And Mike Pompeo is back to Iowa, and we encourage him to come early and often, as we do with all other prospective presidential candidates.
Well, I tell you, as far as Kansas, we love Mike, that's for sure. Thank you, Ambassador. Appreciate you coming on.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed the opportunity to visit with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then former Secretary of State Chris Kobach will join us, talk about his decision to run for Attorney General. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.